And hear now this reading from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
A wonderful story about a medical student who spent his summer vacations during the day serving as a butcher in a large supermarket. And he worked at night as an orderly in the local community hospital. Both jobs involved his wearing a white smock. One evening, he was instructed to wheel a woman from her room down into surgery. And so he went and he got his wheelchair and he walked down to her room and he went into the room and he said, "Miss Johnson, I'm here to take you to surgery." And Miss Johnson, who was already afraid, turned to her husband and said, "Harold, it's the butcher! Don't let him take me!" Mistaken identities. Mistaken identities. You know, that's what the Trinity is about. Coming to an understanding of who God is and who God reveals himself to be. Coming to an understanding of who God is and how we encounter God from day to day. The Trinity is not just some theoretical, hypothetical, artificially constructed, beautiful construct of theologians. No, it is not something that's disconnected from daily life, from Christian living. It is indeed a picture, if you will, a way of picturing God. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is a way of talking about how we communicate and relate with God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The doctrine of the Trinity. Would you pray? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to each and every one of us in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we confess to you, Almighty God, that we are your people. And we must hear and receive your word to live eternally. We pray in Jesus' holy and gracious name. Amen. Now, as I said with the kids, cameras are an interesting invention. Cameras allow you to take and permanently record images. And we've had cameras for over 150 years now. And the neat thing about the new cameras that come out are not only that you can preview what your picture looked like on the little screen on the back, but you can also save the image digitally instead of putting it on film. Then you can download it to a computer and you can get an immediate image. And what I have here is a wonderful toy, a digital camera. Taking pictures is both a science and an art. Some people are good at taking pictures, some people are bad at taking pictures. Some people are photogenic, some people break cameras. Well, I'm going to risk something today by taking a few pictures, because we're going to be talking about picturing God, viewing God from different angles and different perspectives. And the first angle and the first picture we're going to take today is of God as Father. Oh. Let's go all the way back here. That works. The first picture. It's taken head on. It's taken obviously. It's taken in a way that we expect. It's a picture of God the Creator. God the Father. It's the image of God that we most think about when we talk about the creation story from Genesis. We read Genesis today. We heard about the creation, about how God formed and mastered and created the world out of nothing, and he separated the waters above from the waters below, and the land from the water, and then he created the animals of the water, and then the animals of the air, and then the animals on the ground, and then the human beings. He He set the universe into order and structure. The God, the Creator, is how we normally think of God. It's a picture of God straight on, as you would take a picture of any individual human being, straight on. It's a picture of God, the Creator, the kind of picture that we expect when we talk about God. But more importantly, it is a picture of God the Father. Because we speak of God, the first person of the Trinity, not just as God who fashioned it all, but of God who is our parent. I love the story that is told about Tad Lincoln, the son of President Lincoln, who during the Civil War was out playing in the front yard of the White House, and he fell down and he skinned his knees up really bad. And he goes running in, and he goes up to the Secretary of the Treasury, and he says, "Oh, I want to see my daddy." And the Secretary of the Treasury says, "Okay, I will make an appointment for you to see the Chief Executive." The little boy, that wasn't good enough for him. So he goes running down to the Secretary of War's office, and he goes in there, goes into Secretary Stinson's office, and he says, "I want to see my daddy." And the Secretary of War says, "Okay, I'll make an appointment for you to see the Chief Executive, the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the United States of America." Wasn't good enough. And so Tad goes running down to the third room, and he goes in there to his mother. "I want to see my daddy." And so he gets picked up by his mother and taken in to see his father, his daddy. Now, the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of War, they were going to take him to see his father. But they spoke about Lincoln in ways differently than Tad did. Tad knew him as daddy. Secretary of War knew him as the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. The Secretary of Treasury knew him as the Chief Executive of the United States. They were all talking about the same person. But they were thinking of Lincoln as the thing that he did, and Tad was talking about Lincoln as who he was. We can talk about God as Creator. We can talk about God as the one who fashioned the world. We can talk about God as the one who sets it all into motion, and who sets his will for us. We can talk about God in this impersonal kind of way. Or we can talk about God as Father, as parent, as the one who guides us and leads us. Fathers are wonderful. They give us guidance. They don't just create us. They give us guidance in who we are. An image of God the Father, God the Creator, an image straight on of God that is easy to comprehend. But there's another image of God. Let's see. Now, the straight on image was kind of two-dimensional, really flat. This one gives me some three-dimensionality. Now, not only do I have a head-on picture, but now I have a little bit of the profile. You know, in the police shot, they take pictures of people front and side. Most of these people ought to be photographed front and side back there, but by and large, you know, they take pictures front and side, so you get not just what they look like here, but what they look like on the side. You take a picture from an angle, you get a different perspective than the picture that was straight on. From an angle, you know what? There's more people here than there is if you're looking at them straight on. A different perspective photograph now of God. God the Son. There's a story of the boy and the father who are walking along, and they tread into an ant pile, and the ants are real messed up, and they're upset, and they're going crazy all over the place like ants will do if you step in the ant pile. And the son turns to his daddy, and he says, "Daddy, can we help them fix their ant pile?" And the dad says, "No, I'm afraid we're too big to help any. There's not much we can do." That's a lot like our relationship with God. We sometimes act and believe as though God is too big to help us, too big and powerful. The God, the Creator of the universe, couldn't possibly have anything he'd want to do with us. He wouldn't talk to us. He wouldn't be with us. He wouldn't answer our questions. He wouldn't pick us up when we skin our knees. He wouldn't be there to help us when we're afraid in the middle of a storm at night. God, the Creator of the universe, wouldn't do that for us. He's the great and powerful, the God only wise. And so, to break through the barrier that we have created, because you know that image is wrong. To break through the barrier that we have created, God reveals himself to us in yet another way, as God the Son. He becomes one of us. help repair the mess that we've made of our anthill, to help repair the mess that we have made of this life, to help fix what we have broken, our relationship with God. He comes in Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer. And you can speak about Jesus as the Redeemer and the Savior, and all these are titles. But His name is the Son of God, Jesus. He is our brother. He is the one who comes to be with us, to save us, and to walk with us. As He walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, so He walks with you and me. It is God with us. That's the meaning of His name, Emmanuel, God with us. He is God, not separate and eternal, and separated us from us by a chasm, but God right here among us. That's the second image of God. The third image of God needs to be taken from a different perspective altogether. Surprise, surprise. From behind. Don't turn and look. There we go. But the third image of God, the third perspective of God we're going to look at today is the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Who is God the Holy Spirit? I love the story of the mother who marries a man named Jim, and Jim's father is named Jim. And for some undefinable reason, they name their son Jim. And then the father comes and lives with the son and the grandson. So she has three Jims in the house. And the phone call comes, inevitably, and she answers the phone, and they say, "Can I speak to Jim?" And she says, "Which one do you want? Jim the father, Jim the son, or Jim the Holy Terror?" The Holy Ghost is not a holy terror, my friends. He's the holy lover. St. Augustine used to say about the Holy Spirit and about God the Father and God the Son that God the Father and God the Son are bound together by God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is God's love between God the Father and God the Son. And we are blessed by being put in the middle so that God, the love of God and the Holy Spirit literally surrounds us. When you take a bath at night and you ease down into the hot water, you ease down into the water. And we in the church have forever used baptism and the waters of baptism as symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. The Holy Spirit is really and truly the love of God and the presence of God here today with you and within you, empowering you for Christian life and service. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. Jesus Christ is God with you today and yesterday and tomorrow. But the Holy Spirit makes Him present with you. And they both bridge the gap that we have established between us and God the Father. Three images. Three different photographs, if you will, of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, who unifies us all together in the love of God. My dad likes to use the image of the family relationships to talk about God's Holy Trinity. He says that He is the son of His dad, the father of His sons, and the husband of His wife. He's the same person, and yet, depending upon the character of the relationship, He behaves differently. With His father, He is the son. With His son, He is the father. And with His wife, He is husband. He's the same person, but living in three different styles and manifestations of a relationship. Now, if that's all we say about the Trinity, that it just depends upon how you encounter God as to whether you encounter Him as Father, as Son, or as Holy Spirit, then you're doing damage to theology. But as a glimpse, as a photograph, as a perspective, as an angle in the photograph, amongst many other angles and many other photographs, it helps us to grasp just a glimpse of an understanding of who God is in the Holy Trinity. And yet when we say that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet when we say that we encounter God as Father, and encounter God as Holy Spirit, and encounter God as the Son, Jesus Christ, we're also saying that we're encountering the same God. Three separate persons, but one God. The Jews have a wonderful thing for this. It's called the Shema. And in Hebrew worship and in Jewish worship, in Orthodox Hebrew Judaism, you don't look at God, so you cover your eyes. And then you sing the Shema, which is a passage from Deuteronomy. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, which is sung, and you gotta move to it too. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And they sing it three times. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, sung three times, my friends. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, sung three times. We share that proclamation. We share the proclamation that God is one. And yet, three. God is one God. Three manifestations, three persons, three realities, three relationships, three persons, but one God. And it's a mystery. And my friends, you're never going to be able to fully comprehend it. But it's what we proclaim. Three different ways, three different snapshots of looking at God, of photographing God. My dad has a camera that has four lenses on it. And if you take a picture with that, it takes four different spots on the film to make the imprint. And when you send it off to the lab, they put them together and they create a three-dimensional image. It's literally like a hologram on a flat piece of paper, three images layered together, and they look wonderful. They are really three-dimensional. My friends, you can do that with a digital camera. You can take a picture from three slightly different angles and then merge them together, and you get that three-dimensional appearance. No one single image gives you that three-dimensionality. It's still flat. But when you put the different images together, you get a better understanding of the whole. And that's true for God too. You can look at God as Father, you can look at God as Son, you can look at God as Holy Spirit, but when you put them all together, you have a complete whole. That still isn't quite there, but is our best attempt. Now I love the reading today for one very simple reason. The reading from the Gospel today says that they saw Jesus and they worshipped him, but they still had doubts. They saw Jesus. He was standing right there. They could see him. They could talk with him. They could touch him. They could feel him. They knew he was real. They knew he had been risen from the dead. They knew he was there. And they could worship him, and they did. But they still had doubts. That gives me hope, my friends. For there are times when my faith trembles. There are times when my faith falters. When I have to think about this kind of stuff and think about the Holy Trinity and think about our thinking about God, my faith sometimes starts to tremble. But even though they could see Jesus, even though they worshiped Jesus, some of them still doubted. That's good news for you and me. That means that we can leap over the doubts. Still worship with faith. We can leap over the doubts and still see Jesus. That's the good news today. Proclaim Jesus. Proclaim the Father. Proclaim the Holy Spirit, our God, and give thanks and praise that he reveals himself to us in many different ways so that we might truly come to faith in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.